Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Well, we've been talking about this prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." This is a prayer of surrender, a prayer that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. And I thank Minister Kendi for preaching last week and Pastor Pete for preaching the week before that. I just heard such great things about all that. And so thank you for speaking into the soil here of our hearts. And but I wanted to say a couple of things to conclude the series this week. It's hard sometimes to lay down some of the things that we want so that we can pick up the things that God has for us. But that's what spiritual growth is all about. Putting God's will before our own. Putting God's desires before our desires. So there's so much wisdom that we see in this prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. So if you've missed any of the messages, you can go back and listen to them on the website. But today we're going to wrap up the series, Not My Will. Because there is a paradigm that we all have. There's a perspective that we grow up with. It's normally developed out of culture. It's developed out of personal experience. It's normally developed out of what you see and you talk about in your home as you grow up. It's the way that you see the world, your perspective. There's some things that happen, though. When we come to Christ, there is a collision of perspectives. There's our perspective, and then there's his perspective. When we come to Christ, then we say, "Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I want to live for you." There's a collision of perspectives. Now, all of a sudden, there's my perspective, and there's God's perspective. And is it going to be my paradigm, or is it going to be God's? So what Jesus modeled for us in the Garden of Gethsemane is laying down one perspective and picking up another. He came into the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said this. He said, "God, if there's any way for this cup to pass, if there's any way for me not to have to go to the cross, God, let that happen. But yet, not my will," or I could say, "not my perspective, but your perspective. Your design be accomplished in me." So today I want to talk to you about not my perspective, but your perspective. Not my perspective, but your perspective. And I hope and I pray that we can walk out of this place today and we can say, I want his perspective. Not the one that I've taken on, not the one maybe that I grew up with, not the one maybe that I'm accustomed to, but his perspective. Not my perspective, but his perspective. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, "There's a way that seems right to a man." There's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that seems right to a man. You see where I'm going here? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Ever since the fall of man, we are born in with some self-destructive tendencies. We're born with self-destructive tendencies. And even in psychology, they talk about people, how they can develop self-destructive habits. I want to tell you, Scripture tells us, Scripture informs us that we're born into some brokenness. The world is broken because of what Adam did in sin and how sin has broken things in our world. And so we're born with certain self-destructive tendencies. It's baked into our sin culture. It's baked into our earthly cultures. That's right. All of our cultures have been infected by the brokenness of our world. We have self-destructive, sinful tendencies. There's paradigms that we have that are unhealthy. We have to be honest. There's perspectives that we have that don't help us. They actually hold us back. Proverbs 14:12 tells us there's a way that seems right to a man. These perspectives seem right. Look at somebody and say, they seem right. It feels right. It looks right to us from our natural perspective, from everything that I know, from all my experiences. This seems right. This perspective seems right. But it's self-destructive. At some point, it's going to unravel. God does not want us to self-destruct. Do you believe that? God doesn't want us to self-destruct. Our sin wants to destroy us, but God wants to save us. The sin that is at work in the world wants to destroy you. The sin that we were all born into, that was baked into all of our cultures, wants to destroy and derail. But God wants to save and redeem. We have a sinful thought process that's self-destructive, but God desires to save us and redeem our thought process. For that to happen, we have to surrender. One of the things that we have to surrender is our perspective. Not my perspective, but your perspective. If we want to receive the saving power of Jesus Christ, we have to believe, correct? If I want to have the saving power of Jesus Christ, I have to believe. It's by faith we're saved. Faith is a belief system that says Jesus is who he says he is. Faith is taking on the perspective of God towards Christ. Faith is submitting the natural thoughts and emotions that I have to take on a different perspective. So I want to take on this perspective that will please the Lord. This is a perspective of faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the commands of Christ. There is a perspective that is self-destructive. And then there is a perspective that is redemptive, right? There is a perspective that is informed and influenced by the sinful nature of man, and it's self-destructive. But God invites us to surrender our self-destructive perspective and pick up his redemptive perspective. Our perspective, self-destructive. His perspective, redemptive, powerful. So we pray, God, not my perspective, but your perspective. When I look at the world, when I look at people, when I look at circumstances, let it be your perspective. Not this broken perspective that I was born into or that I learned or that I grew up with. God, I want it to be your perspective. I was talking with one of our men this week on the phone, and we were talking about how when we minister to other people, and there's this perceived goodness that people have in the world. Many people in the world think pretty much they're good people. You ever run into that? Give or take, you know, I haven't stolen anything. I haven't robbed anybody. I haven't scammed anybody over thousands of dollars. So give or take, I'm pretty much a good person. That's their perspective, but it's not God's perspective. Can we talk about that? There was this moment when somebody came and asked Jesus a question, and they addressed him as good teacher. It's in Luke 18, 18 and 19. Jesus had a really interesting response back to the man. So the man comes to him, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, why do you call me good? Only God is truly good. So the man, the religious leader, this person that's looked up to as somebody that knows things about the things of God, he comes to Jesus and he calls him good. And Jesus, He says, okay, I'll give you your answer, but first let me address this concept of goodness. Jesus was essentially saying, we apply goodness to liberally. Oh, that's a good person. This is a good person. Jesus says, no, only God is truly good. From our sinful perspectives, we think that we are good. Without the knowledge of God, without the understanding of who God is, and how holy that God is, and the perfection that is in God, and the perfection that is in Christ, we can come and we can think that we are, in our own right, good people. But the truth of the matter is, we're only good when we line up with the cross. We are only good when we line up with the Christ. Many people perceive that they are good when they are, in fact, born into a sinful and broken world with broken behavioral traits, with flawed thought processes. We are born not good. We are born with self-destructive tendencies. Job says in Job 14:1, mortals born of women are few days and full of trouble. It doesn't take them a long time. It doesn't take a child a long time. It doesn't take a baby a long time to learn no, to learn defiance, to learn rebellion. It doesn't take us long to become disobedient. We're born with self-destructive tendencies. We're born into this sin culture. And I say this not to guilt any of us today, but to show you the necessity for Christ. We need Jesus, not because not one of us is good without Him. We're not good without Him. With Him, we are good. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how does that look like when you get to heaven? When you're trying to pass the gates? We've all sinned and we've all fallen short. We didn't meet the criteria to be in the glory of God. The New Living Translation says it even clearer. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. So none of us is worthy to stand in the presence of God outside of the cross of Christ. We are not worthy to stand in the presence of God outside of the cross of Christ. So to draw close to God, we need a new perspective. To become more powerful in the purpose that He's given us, we must take on a new perspective. If I want to level up the way that I think and the way that I act and my effectiveness in life, and with people, and with purpose, I need a new perspective. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, watch this, by the renewing of your mind. By taking on a new perspective, then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So don't conform to the perspective of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your perspective. We have to think a different way. Let this mind be in you. What? The mind of Christ. The perspective of Christ. Not my perspective, but the perspective of Christ. A godly perspective. An elevated perspective. A perspective that causes me to win. A perspective that causes me to treat my spouse right. A perspective that makes me a better father or mother. An elevated perspective that only comes from the goodness of God. If you want to become more effective in life, take on His perspective. If you want to become more effective in ministry, take on His perspective. If you want to accomplish your purpose in life, take on His perspective. If you want to grow closer to Him, take on His perspective. David said in Psalm 24:3, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart." Can we talk about heart here? Because it's not just talking about emotions. It's talking about the way that you think. The purity of your mind. What your perspective is. Who will ascend? Who's going to get close to God? Who's going to climb up that mountain and have true relationship and intimacy with God? Those that have this new perspective. The perspective that only comes from God. Jesus talked about it. Jesus taught it. Jesus said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all these things. He's going to give you a new perspective. He's going to remind you of the stuff I taught. He's going to lead you into all kinds of truth." This perspective is so important. Who's permitted to get closer to God? The one with a pure heart. The one with a renewed perspective. The more our perspective is renewed, the more our perspective is like Him, the closer that we're drawn to Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "So all of us who have read, who have had the veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image." So here's the concept, speaking in terms of perspective. All of us who've had the veil removed, if you've come to Christ and you say, "Hey, I realize I'm a mess, I need Jesus." The veil has been removed from you, right? Now we can begin to reflect the glory of God, and the Lord who is Spirit makes us, watch this, more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So the more my perspective changes, the more like Him I become, the more close to Him I become. Right? So the more I change my perspective, I'm in His presence. He identifies an area I need to change of my thought process. I change that thought process. I move closer to Him. Next level. He identifies a new area of my thought process. I address that. I change that to reflect Him more. Guess what? I move closer to Him. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands, pure heart. My actions, hands are the actions, heart, the emotions, and the thought process. We have to pray that prayer of submission. God, not my will, but Your will be done. Not my perspective, but Your perspective become a reality in my life. To have that position before the Lord, if we want to grow in Him, if we want to be effective in this life He's given us. How many want to be effective in your life? You want to be effective in business. You want to be effective at home with your family. You want to be effective with relationships. You want to be effective in your finances, right? His perspective, when His perspective gets on you, you're able to do things that other people can't do. Jesus was able to do things that nobody else could do. And so we're saying, God, give me the mind of Christ. Give me the perspective that You want me to have. Not the one that just by default I've ended up with here. Because guess what? The default perspective on earth is sinful. Because it's a broken, sinful condition that the world is in. So, I think most everybody fits in two categories today. Some here today would say, I want to grow in God. And that's important to me. That's present. Others might be saying, I really need to take some steps forward in my purpose. That's important to me. That's what's most present. We all probably fit into one of those two categories today. I'm not saying that one is more important than the other, but one is probably more present to you today. Either you're like, man, I really want to press into God. I want to draw closer to Him in this season. Or you're saying, hey, I really want to do the things that He's called for me to do. I want to be more effective in my purpose. Whichever one is you, I offer you the same solution. The solution is laying down your perspective and picking up his perspective. It's a process of multiple conversations in prayer that we will have as Christians, piece by piece, laying down different thought processes that are flawed, and we pick up new thought processes that he gives us. So we assume a posture that says, not my perspective, but your perspective become a reality in my life. I want the mind of Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to do the things that please the Lord. I want to have that type of faith mentality. So it's not my perspective, but your perspective. My perspective is flawed. His perspective is perfect. My perspective is limited. His perspective is limitless. My perspective leads me to dead ends. His perspective leads me to new solutions. My perspective is self-destructive. His perspective is redemptive. Let us take on the heart posture that says, not my will, but your will be done. Not my perspective, but your perspective become a reality in my life. Far too often we're holding on to something, a way of thinking. And God is inviting us to lay that down. Surrender that way of thinking so that he can elevate us, so that he can bless us, so that he can open doors and bring something new into our lives. We all want the new level, the new blessing, the new thing that God has for us. But did you also know that involves surrendering something that you have right now? You will always have to surrender something old to get something new from God. We are limited in our capacity for what we can carry and contain. You're going to have to lay something down if you want to pick something new up in God's presence. Think about that today. Think about that today. Think about that today. If you want God to anoint your mind with a new perspective and give you some God thoughts, what sinful, negative, self-destructive thoughts are you willing to lay down so that you can pick up those God thoughts? God has some next level strategy he wants to put inside of you. What are you willing to let go of to pick that up? I'm willing to let go of anything he points at. I'm willing to let go of anything the Holy Spirit highlights in my life. Why? Because I want the good things that God has for me. I want the good plans that he has for me. I want the good plans that he has for you. So the question is, what are you willing to lay down? How far are you willing to go? There's a couple of John's disciples that were walking on the road with Jesus, and they said, well, Jesus, where are you going? And they went a little bit of the way with him, but they stopped. They stopped short of being part of the 12. Scripture says that he ought that they would have gone further. How often does God have more, but we're just not willing to let go of something? Close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes for a second and just ask yourself, what are you willing to surrender? What are you willing to surrender so that God can give you something new? Will you stand up on your feet with me? I wasn't even going to do this today, but I want to open up the altar right now. And this is the prayer. This is the thing. This is what I feel like is so important right now. And that is, if you have something, you don't have to tell me, if you have something that you need to surrender today, a thought process that's unhealthy, maybe it's a thought process that's self-destructive. Maybe it's something that you've been holding back. You've been stubborn in a certain area and you want to lay it down. I want you to come to the altar today. I want you to lay it down. There's something powerful about making a faith step and saying, I'm going to do this today. God honors our faith. God honors our action. And so today I want to invite you, if that's you, you say, I need to surrender something. It's a thought process, or it's something I've been stubborn on. It's something that I've had trouble letting go of. I surrender all. I surrender all. That is the heart posture. Can we be right there, Johnny? I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Can we just sing that? All to Him I freely give. Yeah. Love and trust Him in His presence day. Say all, I surrender. Say, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Sing that chorus one more time. I surrender all. Say, I surrender. Right now at Your presence, I surrender. All to Thee, my, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh. You may not need an extra push, but maybe you do. Just put your hands in the air. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to reach by and touch everybody that's here. I'm going to agree with what you have already agreed with, that whatever it is will be surrendered in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Surrender. 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 In the name of Jesus. Surrender. We let go of everything that doesn't belong. Surrender. Surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. I surrender the old. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. What a powerful prayer. God, I surrender. What a powerful prayer. God, I surrender. God, I surrender. There's something powerful about laying down the old, because it enables us to pick up the new. The new, the new, the new, the new, the new. Everybody in this place, just lift your hands. Lift your hands and say, God, I want the new. I let go of the old. I make room for the new. God, I want the new thing that You have for me. I want the fresh perspective. I want Your will. Let Your will be done in me. Let Your perspective be alive in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just turn to a few people and say, I receive what God has given today. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.